And so I'm
radio
tonight to glorify the Lord. God bless you.
I'm here. I heard unmuted, but I can't hear anything back. So I'm
I can hear an echo. I can hear an echo in the background. So.
Oh, okay. I can hear you now. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
glory to God.
Okay. Okay. So
All right.
Can hear okay?
Yes. Are you ready for me?
Yeah. But I can hear an echo in the background. Was that somebody else in the room on the phone?
I dialed in from two lines because I couldn't hear anything, so I said maybe another phone will work.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, when you dial in and if I don't have your line open or I'm not talking to you, you probably wouldn't hear anything, but that's okay because I saw the other line go off. So you're fine now. God bless you. Go ahead.
Thank you. I just want to give honor to God. I thank him for this platform, this divine appointment. I thank him for setting this up. I thank him for waking me up this morning so that I could do his work. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. I want to give a shout out to my mom. Without God, there wouldn't be no her and there would be no me. I want to give a shout out to my two sons, Xavier and River, because I got a quickening in my spirit that the foundation of my sermon tonight is just for them. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to start with the word, and I'm going to begin with the book of Jonah 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. I'm going to stop right there. Sometimes God calls us to do things and sets us up for the purpose of doing his will before he tells us what to do. He puts his strength in us, then he gives us his word, and especially when we hear him, he knows we're listening. He knows we hear his voice. Sometimes we just act like we don't, or we rebel against it, and we turn the opposite way. But God will put you in a position to say, can you hear me now? God is a superior being. He's a super God. He's a high God. And he's always in control, even when you think he's not. Even when you don't want him to be, he is. Just ponder that. Every situation that's set up and designed to give him praise and glory, to do what he has for you to do, is because he called you to do it. And when we don't, he will place you in a position to tell you again and then say, can you hear me now? I just want to say that. Me too. I've been in a situation just like Jonah. But I thank God right now that I've listened to him and I'm doing what he has called me to do, what he has anointed me to do. And in spite of everything else in my life that tries to hinder my calling, my ministry, his will, his purpose for me, I get it done. Because I'm doing it now, and I thank you, Jesus, that I am doing it now. And it's not me, but it's him, his Holy Spirit, and the Lord that is speaking right now. Not just all the nations that are listening and every ear that is listening, just listen and get a blessing from God. Because when you hear the voice of the Lord, because tells you in his word through his Holy Spirit, that you can hear him. He will speak to you. There's equipping in your spirit. You, if you have discernment and you touch the spirit by the spirit, you'll get it. And you'll know the path which God has directed you to go in to get it done. So do it. So that God doesn't have to put you in a position to say, can you hear me now? So I'm going to fast forward a little bit to when Jonah is in the boat. But Jonah has, and this is verse 5. All the sailors were afraid. There was a great sea, great storm on the sea. So I'm going to paraphrase before I read verse 5. There was a great storm had troubled the sea. And see, sometimes even your friends, even your cohorts, your whoever you work with, they'll put you in a position and say, oh, it's your fault. You gotta go. Because you're not doing what God called you to do. Since you went the opposite way, here's what God's gonna do. He's gonna set you up for experience to say, you know what? I should have listened to what the Lord said and went in that direction and did what he called me to do, or I wouldn't be in the position that I am to cry out and say, oh, Lord, give me another chance to do what you called me to do. So that's what happened to Jonah. He ran away from what God called him to do, and instead of heading to Nineveh, he ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. And he found a ship at a port, and he paid a fare, and he went aboard. See, he paid to go in another direction. He didn't just run down the road or go down the opposite street. He didn't drive his car. He even had his own boat. He paid to go and do what he wanted to do and not what God told him to do. And after the paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord, to flee from the voice of the Lord, that which God called him to do. See, sometimes when God tells us to preach against something, we, you know, our flesh gets insecure. Let's just say insecure. And why? Because God is a great God. So why do we fear what he has set up for us to do? Why? Because we're looking at ourselves. When you should keep your eye on God and know that he's going to bless you when he tells you to go do something that people are not going to accept. The truth hurts. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Excuse me. Here's verse 5. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. To his own God. It doesn't say to God, to his own God. So they had other gods, not Jonah's God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. So Jonah was all at peace, even though he was running away from what God told him to do. And that reminds me of when Jesus went below and was sleeping, and all the disciples got upset. And said, well, how can Jesus sleep like through all this? But Jonah was asleep, and he was at peace. See, Jesus can have peace because he's the one that can tell the sea, peace be still. And then say to his disciples, why are you afraid? But Jonah had peace for some reason in the midst of his rebellion, because I'm just going to call it that. Because when God tells you to go one way and you go the other way, that is rebelling against the voice of the Lord and that which he told you to do. So Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and fell asleep into a deep sleep. The captain went unto him and said, how can you sleep? See, the word confirms itself from the Old Testament to the New. So if y'all want to tear it apart and just take the Torah or this and that or just take the Old Testament, no, it's one book. Read it all in its entirety and get your blessing. When you start taking it apart, that's not of God. Because the word confirms itself from the beginning to the end. Somebody needs to hear that. How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God, because they knew that calling on theirs didn't work. So somebody had something in them that said, maybe this person who's sleeping, he got peace for some reason, he needs to call on his God. His God's going to work. Oh, yeah. Maybe he will take notice of us that we will not perish. Maybe, but of course. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. See, God will put the light on who is responsible for the calamity. And then, look what happens. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Your rebellion will find you out. God will put a light on you and show everyone who needs to get a blessing from what he told you to do and make them think, like, why aren't you doing it? See, we're in this mess because you didn't obey God. You. Ain't it funny how your friend will tell you you can't be here because you need to go and do what God told you to do? Mm-hmm. You're not one of us. You're different. I've heard that before. So they asked them, okay, tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? And he answered, Jonah, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, God in heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. This terrified them. Listen, when you pray in the name of Jesus to the Lord, the high God, the most high, the living Lord, people get scared, especially when they aren't right. But the whole experience was for them, and especially Jonah. Because God showed them something. He showed himself true, that he was the God they should have been praying to, too. Because praying to their gods didn't work. That's what the word just said. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told himself. So they knew that he was running away from the Lord. The Lord. It didn't say his God, so maybe they had already accepted that his God was the God. The Lord. Not a Lord. Not his Lord. The Lord. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? What should we do to you? You got to go. You got to get out of here, because we can't continue like to have peace on this sea with you in here. You need to get going where God told you to go. I heard that before. We can't do this, that, and the other. We can't gratify our flesh with you here, because you can pray. We can't do this, that, and the other with you here, because you're not supposed to be here. I look at you and you're different. You're that Christian girl. You can't stay here. You got to go. Now, I'm going to just stop there. I'm not. Pick me up and throw me into the sea. He replied, and it will become calm. Okay, I'll go. Throw me out because it's my fault. It's my fault that you guys don't have peace. So I'm going to go. Been there, done that. Jonah said, pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it will calm down. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. See, the Lord showed himself to Jonah and to them. Don't think that moment didn't change their life too. Instead, the men did their best work to row back to the land. But they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord. Then they cried out to the Lord, not Jonah's Lord, the Lord. They cried out. See, that whole experience affected them too. Can y'all hear me now? Not just you, Jonah. Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life, because they're going to throw him out. Don't hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. They thought he was going to die. For you, Lord, have done as you please. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard. That was God's will. And the raging sea grew calm. And the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. See, somebody got saved when they put Jonah out of the boat. Ain't that something? Now, the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of a fish 3 days and three nights. Now, what's that like? He found out, because nobody knew until then, because this is the first story I heard about a whale, a fish, swallowing somebody for 3 days and three nights. 3 days and three nights, and they lived to tell about it. Somebody wrote about it. It's true. And what was that like? God will put you in a position. Listen, let me just talk about my inside the huge fish experience. I'm going through a deliverance process. Deliverance is a process. It's a happening, and it goes on continuously as you get victory from whatever it is he's delivering you from. Have faith, because he breaks every chain. He has come to deliver you from bondage. All you have to do is believe, give up, and don't think you within yourself can break anything. It takes your eyes towards God, a total submission. Give up. Be broken and know that Jesus saves. He delivers through his blood, his power, his death, and his resurrection. That's what God did for us. My situation was, God put that thing on my son. That thing on my son. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. My oldest son went through getting delivered from drugs. And what I found out was he was on it longer than I even knew. He was on a opioid that took his appetite, locked up his bowels, his intestines, and he felt like this was life and much better when you're high. The devil is a liar. And as I began to notice, because, you know, you can see that thing, you know, we can see that thing. God will reveal it to you, but we can see each other. And that's my son. He came out of my womb. God gave him to me. I gave him back. But he put my thing on my son. Glory to God. I thank you, Jesus. And when it came time that he surrendered, he came to me. And he said, Mom, I'm ready. I'll let this thing go. And I'm kicking cold turkey. No rehab. No medicine. I want you, Mom. And I watched him on my bathroom floor, on my bedroom floor, on the floor, just regurgitate, vomit for 32 days, 31 days. He couldn't eat anything that he wouldn't bring back up. We gave him crackers, Jell-O, soup, tea, but God wanted me to see something. Because I always said, like, I can do this for me. And he said, yes. And I heard, but I need that belly of the well experience because I was running from my deliverance. And in the midst of my running, my son ran after me and said, I'm ready to get this thing up, Mom. And he came, like, stumbling out his car. He drove from Philadelphia over the bridge to New Jersey, Camden, parked his car, could barely walk, and fell into my arms. And I'm going through deliverance, too, at the time. This was almost 3 years ago now. And I said, God, for real? The pain that I went through watching my child say right now, I'm done. No medicine, nothing. I took him to the hospital every other day to get fluids because he was severely dehydrated. Now, I know if you constantly vomit, you can have a heart attack. That acid and the things on your stomach, such as opioids, can tear the lining of your stomach from your esophagus, your throat, all of that up. I didn't think my child would ever be the same again. As a matter of fact, I didn't think that it would work, that he would give it up, that he would give it up but go back. I even doubted. Is that why Jonah turned in the other direction? No, he just didn't want to do what God had him to do because he didn't want to hurt no feelings. That was a tough word that God had for Nineveh. A tough word. And sometimes we don't want to hurt people's feelings. But when you do what God tells you to do and he gets the glory, the blame don't fall on you. We will be persecuted in his name. We will take a lot of chastisement in the name of the Lord. But don't stop there. Keep on going. Keep your eye on the prize. Don't disobey. Don't rebel. Because there is victory on the other side when you listen and do what the Lord has told you and called you to do, especially if that's your ministry. So I watched my baby and see, I didn't know what I was going to say, you know, can you hear me now? And I got this thing just 2 nights ago when I thought about my son, my sons. They both need deliverance. Well, needed. Xavier is delivered. Still needs to get saved. I claim River's deliverance, and they need to get saved and walk in salvation and be kingdom builders and the men of God that he has called them to be. And I know before I close my eyes or I'm taken up that I will see them do it. And why? Because God, the word of God promises me that. And as I watched my son on my floors and regurgitate and regurgitate. See, part of deliverance sometimes, see, when I was a little girl, we would go to deliverance ministries, and they were casting out demons, and people were getting afraid. They would throw up. They would move all over. The demons would, like, shake their bodies. They would do things, cough, spit, whatever, as a part of deliverance. But I watched my deliverance fall on my son. See, sometimes our children suffer from the sins of the father. It hurt to watch that. Y'all don't know. And I don't know what it's like to lose a child, and nobody knows what my pain is. But we have empathy as people and a certain kind of sorrow. Because when I tell you about it, you don't want that. You don't want to see that. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that on the 32nd day, or whatever day it was, he got up. My son got up, and he lives to tell you now, my mom, I don't care what my mom did or what my mom does, she never left my side. That's my mother. And with all respect, but God had to show me. And through that, he said, Shawna, can you hear me now? If I would do that for him, don't you know that I will do that for you. God has turned my son's life around. He is prosperous. He is strong. And he is thankful and grateful. And he tells other people, if you want to be successful, let that thing go. You're a loser if you do that. If you continue to do that, you put that in you, you're dead. You're dying. I saw photos of my child on that thing. Oh, and how it grieved me to the pit of my stomach. I just cried for days and days and days. See, I had to take off the coat of the past and things that I went through with that child that grieved me through life. But since I got victory in Jesus, the Lord said, let that thing go. Rejoice now. He's good. But he had one more thing to go through. Oh, and I had to witness it, to get up and know that even though that boy came out of me and had that experience, like, why did I need my son to go through that to believe or to get in that direction that God called me to go? And stop running from what I need to do and who I am. Get to doing it now. Shawna, can you hear me now? See, we all don't have to go through something for the Lord to say, can you hear me now? We don't have to be placed in a rock and a hard place. We don't have to feel pain. We don't have to. But sometimes we do. God will allow that, put that thing in your path to wake you up. I think he used a donkey to talk to a man. Can you hear me now? Like talking through a donkey. A donkey speaking. Why did thou beatest me? What? Can you hear me now? You know, God is so great, he uses foolish things to confound the wise. So when you think you know everything, don't think you know everything. When you become unteachable, when you become unimpressionable, the word can't impress you, or nobody else can, that is giving the word through the Holy Spirit set to give you one. Get rid of yourself. get out of your flesh. Open up your ears. Because sometimes you are hearing the voice of the Lord and you just say, I ain't listening. I ain't doing that. I don't want to. It's many days that I don't want to. But my mom will call me every other broadcast and say, can you commit to? I don't want to. But you know why I commit? Because this is what God called me to do. And I get closer and closer and closer to full victory every time I do. Because, Lord, I hear you now. I don't need nothing else to happen to another child of mine, my other son. No, not my stepkids, none of them, not my mother, not my husband, not nobody else in my family, in my bloodline. Lord Jesus, please deal with me so the enemy can leave them alone. Because he promised me certain things from doing his word. See, gifts come without repentance, and a lot of promises are linked to the word, and when you do them, regardless, God's not a liar. You're going to get promised you by being obedient and doing his will. Now, I don't know how much more time I had, but I hope y'all heard me. Don't run away from God's call and his purpose for your life. When he tells you to hurt somebody's feelings, we are accountable to one another as God's people, the church. We have to lift each other up when they fall down. And when we are in error, if you see it, please come to me and be led by the Lord and help me. Because those people that didn't even follow God, that were on that boat, finally listened and gave honor to Jonah's God, who became their God, and they offered sacrifices. Oh, what is victory? The sea became calm, and they sailed on while Jonah was having his in the belly of the fish experience. See, God said, it ain't over yet. When you don't answer God's call, when you don't heed to his will and what he tells you to do, it becomes hard. To whom much is given, much is required. And when you know the word, don't think you're going to suffer for not doing it. When you know it, ignorance is bliss. Ignorance means not knowing. But knowing and going full, turning your back and not doing what he said do, and you heard him, can you hear me now? See, he knows you heard him and will tap you on the shoulder, maybe your child, maybe your father, maybe your mother. And use that person to affect you. Can you hear me now? God is good. He is the most gracious God. His mercy and his grace is sufficient. He is a forgiving God. And guess what? He's forgetful. He casts your sin into the sea of forgetfulness. So you ask Hallelujah. Him again, he's going to say, what you talking about? Didn't I already? I thought, okay, whatever. Have faith in what he's called you to do. Because maybe if you're intimidated by whose feelings he wants you to hurt, you better get to hurting them. God's word isn't always lightweight. There's a tough word sometimes he wants you to give out to this world, even his church. We are kingdom builders. The word is for us as well as them. We are in this world. We are not of it. But we are to preach the gospel of the good news of Jesus. And the truth Hallelujah. Hurts. It cuts. It's like a two-edged sword.
Yeah.
And it is cutting off the fat and making it lean. You hear me?
Hallelujah.
It separates the wheat from tares.
Yes, it does.
Look, let's just say hallelujah right now and thank you, Jesus. Let's repent if you got to and ask God to forgive you and put you back on track before you end up in that fish. And in that fish, you're going to come out maybe after 3 days. Give them glory and say, Lord, yes, I hear you now.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. God is good. I just ask that everybody get a blessing from the hearing and the reading of his word. That's it. Thank you, Mom.
Well, praise God.
Thank
because
you,
last week when we had the broadcast, I had 3 or 4 ministers on, and none of them talked about Jonah. But it was powerful. And I didn't even think about Jonah regarding this, but Jonah is usually the main one, plus a prophet. And I've been talking about prophets this evening with Bishop Bronson, who's on the line listening. He wanted to hear you minister. And but Jonah is usually the main character in the Bible that people had a problem with him not listening to God. And I remember I went to Sight and Sound and saw the play Jonah, and it was depicted just wonderfully. And for the first time, the play brought out the fact why Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. And they pointed out that Jonah's father was killed in Nineveh, or by people from Nineveh. And so God told him to go to the very place that devastated his life by his father being killed. So they had to research that to know that, because that theater, Sight and Sound, when they had plays, a lot of things that they would have to research in order for the audience to understand that that's why the person reacted like that. But that's what they brought out, and that was very good for me, because I knew that there had to be some reason why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, because those people did need to be saved, and they did yield to the drawing of the Holy Spirit and accepted Christ. So thank you, Shawnee. I realized that my phone was muted the whole time that I was right here praying for the broadcast and praying for Minister Shawnee and Elder Sean. And they were both
binding up every I was binding and loosening over here. I said, give me another phone.
I haven't done that in years, but I remember the last time I did it, people were texting me and saying, we can't hear you. And I looked at my phone, I'm on my landline, and it was still muted. So I'm sorry about that, but
I
did pray.
Oh, no, not tonight. Go for it.
And I got a message from Elder Sean, too. Was everything okay? And I let him know that my phone was muted. I'm just praying and pleading the blood of Jesus and storming heaven for you and Elder Sean and for this broadcast. I even gave a shout-out to all the nations, which I really need to do that again. So, Shawnee, thank you so much, lovey. It was a powerful message. Thank you. I'm going to give a shout out since the nations didn't hear me, and I'll go through this rapidly, and then we'll have Elder Sean on. So God has drawn these nations to this ministry. I don't know how. He has whispered in their ear. They must have picked us up on just Googling the ministry name: Denmark, Portugal, Lithuania, Iraq, Cameroon, Bulgaria, Romania, Ukraine, Poland, Austria. We thank God for you. We plead the blood of Jesus over your nation. Libya, Papua New Guinea, Mozambique, Uganda, Ethiopia, Zimbabwe. And these are about 10 or 20 more nations in the last 3 or 4 months: Spain, Myanmar, Burma, Democratic Republic of Congo. Wow. Praise God. China, Mexico, Mongolia, Brazil, Peru. Only God could lead these nations to this ministry. Australia, Netherlands, Bangladesh, Germany, Togo, France, Ireland, Tobago, Norway, South Korea, London, the Ukraine. We plead the blood of Jesus over you, and we ask God to heal your nation of this virus in the name of Jesus. Trinidad, Ghana, Israel, London, Canada, Republic of Serbia, Sweden, Vietnam, Egypt, Thailand, Dubai, Tanzania, South Africa, Kenya. We plead the precious blood of Jesus over you, and we dispatch holy angels over these nations and the Ruach HaKodesh to minister, to lead souls to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Philippines, India, Greece, New Zealand, Belgium, Pakistan, Malaysia, Nigeria, Argentina, Russia, Somalia, Croatia. We thank you for joining us, Namibia, Jamaica, Ivory Coast, Japan, Barbados. We know that it's easier for you to stream in rather than call in, but we're grateful that you're even led by the Holy Ghost to hear what thus saith the Lord. Nicaragua, Slovakia, Turkey, and Venezuela, and this great nation of ours, the United States of America. This nation is great because God has his hand on this nation, not because of any woman or any man, but because Jesus Christ breathes upon this nation on a daily basis, because Adonai Elohim breathes upon this nation, and his hands are upon this nation. No matter what, who's in the White House, God is still in control. And we give him all the praise, honor, and glory. So thank you for that. Since the phone was muted when I was really calling out these nations, I don't do this on every broadcast, but I really wanted it to get through this time. And I'm really blessed and honored that the Lord would touch the hearts of people in other nations to join us. So God bless you, Elder Sean. Your mic is open, young man. I'm always excited to hear what God has given you to say. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I give honor to you. Give honor to God. Thank you, Evangelist Linda, for this opportunity yet again. I also give honor to my pastor, Pastor Marshall, who's on the line. I won't be before you long. I'll be coming from John chapter 5, verses 24 through 26. 24 through 30. But I just want to give 5 points that Minister Shawnee said that really was just confirmation with me. It was, God is putting us in a position. I ran away from God, from what God called me to do. Sometimes we pay to die in the power of God. And lastly, the testimony that she gave with her son, it really was a confirmation, and it all ties into this. So again, John chapter 5, verses 24 through 30, and I'll be reading from the NIV version, and it says, "Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Verily, truly, I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for the time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. To those who have done what is good will rise to live. To those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but for who sent me." Amen. And just for a little brief little title thing, it is, "I came to tell you, but you'll understand why as I go on." In my Life Application Study Bible, it talks about eternal life. It states that eternal life means living forever with God. It begins with you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and at that very moment, a new life begins in you. You will still face a physical death. However, Christ returns again. Your body will be resurrected to live forever. In the text, Jesus was saying that the dead will hear his voice. One thing that is something that needs to be understood, in this text, Jesus was not only talking about the lifeless, but he was also talking about those who are spiritually dead, who do hear, who do understand, and those who have accepted him. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, who have accepted the word of God, they shall have eternal life. Yes, again, Jesus was talking about the physically dead, but if you've ever read your word, you would know that it was not out of the norm for Christ to raise the dead, as he has done several times while on earth. So my question would be, are you dead, or is your spirit dead? Has what you entered or what you're going through, does it seem to have killed you? You may be muted and unable to speak to me, but I just want you to say, I came to tell you. I've come to tell you that somebody is about to rise up. Someone is going to rise up in their situation. Someone is going to stand tall on top of their situation. You have now entered a state of Lazarus. Lazarus was one who was risen from the dead. You have now entered his state. Maybe your situation isn't dead or it isn't gone yet, but whatever your situation is, you're about to rise up out of it. You're about to rise up out of the place that you are in. You're about to rise up out of everything that you are going through. Please understand that God is the ultimate source and the creator of life. Understand that there is no life apart of God. The title of this broadcast, which I really love, is Can You Hear Me? Part 2. And I've come to tell you, I've come to tell somebody that there is no life apart from God. The life that we have been blessed with, the life that we have been given, the life that God has entrusted us with, it's just a gift. That's all it is. It's a simple gift. With all power and all authority, resting, ruling, and abiding with God, he gave us the gift of life. But I've come to tell you that God is saying, can you hear me now? With everything that is going on in the world, he is saying, can you hear me now? I gave you a gift. Can you hear me now? Yes, this is running rampant. Yes, this is going on. That is going on. But God is just simply asking, can you hear me now? Yes, these particular verses are speaking about resurrection. But let me ask you, have you ever been in something that is dead or was dying? Have you ever been in a situation that needed resurrection? Have you ever been in a place in your life where you needed to be restored, where the situation needed to be resurrected? My question is, can you hear me now? God's question is, can you hear me now? If you're looking out, can you see God now? I've come to tell you that Christ will and he can resurrect. All you have to do is call on him. All you have to do is trust in him. All you have to do is believe in him. Can you hear me now? I've come to tell somebody that God is the Father and Almighty, and he has the power to do all things but fail. The situation that you are in, it can be resurrected. The state that you are in, the mindset you are in, the space where you feel as if you don't know where you're going to go. You can't tell your left from your right. You think that it's all over. I've just come to tell you that it can be resurrected. Why? Because God is here, and he is saying, can you hear me now? God is knocking at our door, asking, can you hear me now? God is knocking at the altar of our hearts, asking, can you hear me now? Yes, the situation may seem grim. The situations may be sad, even down to the testimony that was given earlier. She said 31 days she was watching, but God was knocking on her son's door asking, can you hear me now? Amen. That's how deliverance was able to take place. We have gone through different things in her life. She said that she's never lost a child, but I have, and I know for a fact that God was knocking on my door asking me, can you hear me now, because I'm going to get through this. I have been through situations in life where I have seen God and I've heard God just knocking. Can you hear me now? Yes, it may be dark. Yes, we may not know which way to go. We might not be able to tell our right from our left, but we can definitely tell our up from our down, and we know that God is always up. And his question is, can you hear me now? I've come to tell you that you can't give up, but you can surely get up. You can be lifted up. You may be lying in a place of confusion, but God is getting ready to restore you. God is getting ready to resurrect your situation. God is getting ready to resurrect your spirit. God is getting ready to resurrect everything in your life. Can you hear me now? Maybe destruction is heading your way, but I'm coming to tell you that God is getting ready to resurrect you. God is getting ready to resurrect you with strength that you've never known that you had deep down inside. He's getting ready to resurrect you with power that you didn't even know that you can contain. God is getting ready to resurrect you with a word that you wouldn't even know that you could speak. He's getting ready to resurrect your ears with something that you didn't even think that you were able to hear, and he is most likely, and he is definitely going to resurrect you to touch something that you thought was untouchable. My question to you is, can you hear me now? Because God is knocking at our door. On today, that's what I've come to tell you, that you can get up because God is knocking on the door, and he's asking, can you hear me now? He sees that you have cried out for help. He has heard your prayers. He has seen your tears. He has witnessed you as you tossed and turned, and as you turned your plate down, and as you have went here from there, from scripture to scripture, and sought out this, that, and the third, and he's just asking, can you hear me now? I've come to tell you that you can be restored. I've come to tell you that God is ready to resurrect you. I've come to tell you that God is here. All you have to do is say, God, I hear you now. Answer his question. He's asking, can you hear me now? So now it's time for you to say, God, I hear you now. Jesus rose on the third day with all power in his hands. So on today, I ask you to put your hand in God's hand. Sometimes we walk around with our hands folded up, and all we're doing is just holding everything to ourselves. But put your hand in the Master's hand, because he's asking, can you hear me now? God has strength that we don't even have. Let him do it. Give it all to God. He is asking, can you hear me now? I'm knocking on the door. He has all power. He can resurrect. He can change. He can do everything. Can you hear me now? Jesus died just for you and I, so why not give it to him? If destruction couldn't take Jesus out, what do you think it's going to do to his heir? It can't touch us, it can't harm us, and most likely it can't even come near
Hallelujah.
Us because God will be our hedge of protection. Can you hear me now is the question. I just came to tell somebody, and really all I do is come to encourage. Amen. I don't care what the TV says. I don't care what the people say, what social media says, what the neighbor says, what the naysayer says. God is sitting on the throne looking high. I mean, sitting high and looking low. And all he's asking is, my child, can you hear me now? I see the path that you are going, but can you hear me now? I see what is going on in your life, but can you hear me now? Because I've come to restore. I've come to resurrect. I've come to change. Sometimes I've come to shake up. But can you hear me now? Because all I'm trying to do is help you, my child. Can you hear me now as I sit on the throne, which I want you to come in and join with me? This is just a test, and we will get through it. If Christ survived it, why can't we get through it? Amen. I said destruction couldn't take out him, so it can do nothing to his heir. Can you hear me now? If Christ survives, surely we shall. We can survive it all through Christ. Amen. He is our strength. He is our source. He is our power. Amen. He is our confidant. He is everything that we need while we're down on this earth. He is everything that we need while we're dealing with this pandemic or while we're going through this. Because as I said before, we've been going through a lot of things before this pandemic. But God got us through it. Why? Because we started to listen to him. We started to listen to the knock. We started listening to the sound as though we couldn't hear. If you think, I love the movie Ray because, and I'm about to finish, I love the movie Ray because his mom was teaching Ray Charles how to get around not being able to see. She was teaching him how to listen to things that was going on around. And my favorite part was when he found the cricket, because although he couldn't see the cricket, although he tripped and he fumbled and he fell and he called out for his mom, and it hurt her so dear to not help him, but he had to find that cricket. He had to listen to that still voice. He had to listen to that sound. He had to isolate and block out everything. He had to block out the noise, block out the wind, block out the taps, block out the fire that was burning, block out the stove. He had to block out everything to solely just hear the sound coming from the cricket so he can know what it is. What am I saying in all of this? We have to block out everything that is going in our life so that we can hear God, because all he's asking is, can you hear me now? We got to block out the hurt. We got to block out the pain. We got to block out the frustration. We got to block out everything because God is saying, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. He is knocking hard. God is knocking like the police in the middle of the night, and we got our earbuds, and you got to take them things out so you can hear. Turn your ear to Christ because he is crying out, and he is asking, can you hear me now? Because I want to save you. I want to deliver you. I want to set you free. I don't want you to be burdened down, but I want you to be free. I want you to continue to go on. Open the door for Jesus. That's all I'm asking you to do today. take off, unlock the bolts. Amen. Take the chains off the door because God is just asking, can you hear me now? I believe chains are going to break loose. Amen. I believe chains are going to fall. Amen. I believe some people are going to be set free. Some things, some situations are going to turn around. Amen. Why? Because we're going to start to hear God. Amen. We're going to start to hear God move. We're going to feel him move at the altar of our hearts. Amen. Today is the day that we start to hear God. Amen. And in my closing, I just ask, God has the mic, and he is saying, testing, testing. I came to tell you, can you hear me now? Because with Christ, you can be resurrected. God bless you.
Praise God. I am so impressed because Elder Sean ministers, and he doesn't take a real long time, but he says a volume of things that really matter. Praise God. Thank you, Elder Sean. I was reminded the Lord placed Ananias in my spirit when you were talking, and how God spoke to Ananias about Paul. And after his meeting with God on the road to Damascus, and Ananias was so honest with God. And see, that's the thing I like about God. No matter what he says to us, we can talk to him about our feelings, about what he tells us to do. He understood Jonah totally. He understands you, Elder Sean. He understood Ananias when Ananias responded to him, had dialogue with God. That is so important for us to get to a place where we hear God speak and we can talk back to him and he can speak again. And Ananias heard from God about going to Saul and laying hands on him and his sight being restored to him. And he did express to God, this man is a Christian killer, and you're sending me to him. God told him the exact street to go to, exactly where he was, and he obeyed God. God didn't have to say, can you hear me now? Because God can tell any one of us to do something that means another person's life, that means another person's destiny, whether you like them or not. Ananias going to Paul was all about the man's ministry. Ananias was born specifically to minister to Paul, an apostle of God. And we know all the books that he wrote in the New Testament. If Ananias didn't hear God, I really think that we do hear God, but I think we decide on, let me find out if this was really the Lord. We get distracted. Ananias knew the voice of the Lord, and that is what our lives depend on, and lives of other people depend on us knowing the voice of God. Ananias sparked a great man of God to ministry and baptized him in water. And so there's so many people in the Bible that have done exactly what God said when God tells them to do it, and there's some that haven't. And God shows his mercy and his grace. What about that prophet that did such a great thing for the king and his withered hand? But he invited him to have a meal with him, and he said, no, because God told me not to stop anywhere, not to eat or drink. I have to proceed on where God has led me. And then a more mature prophet on the road stopped him and discouraged him. I mean, he went where he had to go, and then on his way back, this prophet just continued to pursue him. And the Bible doesn't name the young prophet, but he disobeyed God. and the very older seasoned prophet that he went and sat and had a meal with prophesied to him before he left the house, "You're going to die when you leave here." And he did. So that was the Old Testament, and that was a really cut and dry story, got my attention, that I just got into the ears of so many prophets to dissect that story for me and give me a real good understanding of how this happened. Because the prophet was young, but he still heard the voice of the Lord. And I really surmised that that older prophet was jealous of how God was using him. But I'm going to tell you this. When they buried him, the older prophet told his sons, "When I die, throw me in the grave with him." Why? Because another man was thrown in the grave with an anointed prophet of God. I'm going to let you look up that, who that is. And he came back to life. The bones of an older prophet that had been buried there, they threw him in the grave. So this older prophet knew that this younger prophet was really anointed of God. But that's why we have to listen to God and know his voice and do what he says. It took me a long time to learn how to just trust God, because nowhere in his word does he tell me to place my trust in anybody else or anything else. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but I will trust in the name of the Lord. So God bless you. I thank everybody for joining us. I'm sorry about the beginning where I had the phone on mute and I was just talking and praying. But I just thank God he answered my prayer. Thank you, Elder Sean. God bless you. Have a blessed week. I know this was a little sensitive to you because you brought out, you were very transparent, and I remember my grandson, Xavier. Xavier has not rededicated his life to Christ. But I knew through my prayers that the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, was leading him to get free of those pills. And I watched him be determined, and you don't get like that without the Lord leading you. So that was an example to me that God's mercy is upon his life and that he will again say yes to the will of God and yes to his way. Seeing him get totally delivered because God placed a desire in him to get delivered. And he hasn't touched that stuff since. He was totally delivered. Now we need him to rededicate his life to Christ since he was a little boy. So we bless God tonight. I'm honored to have you both on the broadcast. I'm going to close now like I usually do, saying thank you for joining us. I'm Seer Evangelist Linda Cazares, and I just want to say, only what you do for Christ will last. I had a pastor that repeatedly told us that every time he would see us, every time he would come on a pulpit. Only what you do for Christ will last. What you do for people is going to burn up in the fire. What you do to impress anybody is going to burn up in the fire. Be conscious and intentionally do what you do for Christ and honor him. God bless you. Have a good night. Whatever time zone you're in, we welcome you. We thank you. Join us again. Post it on Facebook. God bless you. Have a good night.